By the way, I did actually forget to ask one question, which is I asked about all those matches at the Shanghai. I never asked about the final. So here's the question about the final, right? Everyone does forget, because everyone always brings up the Magics game. Forget that for a second. Everyone does forget. Donk had a fucking insane game too. Like, even the Dust 2, he was unbelievable, mate. Like, he could just got to kill every round. It felt like T-Sets. So true, right? Here's the thing, though. If I'm a top player, I can handle Donk doing that. That's Donk. But part of me would be salty as fuck about the game. Because here's the thing. I'm not even being rude to Magics. Like, normally when people say life game, they mean the player's trash and he had a good game. Like, he's supposed to be a supportive element in their team. He's even the IGL now. Like, if you watch his whole career, I doubt he's ever done anything close to that. And that was the major final, bro. Like, if you ever watch it back, he actually was unbelievable, mate. Like, he's really wound out, like, out of this world. Do you ever feel salty about that final?
I never really gave myself any thought about Magics. Obviously, he had a good game, but that was kind of it from my side. I think it's different for me, because if you compare to other face players, I'm here now sitting with two more major trophies while the rest is.
If you hadn't won, you'd maybe think about it more.
Yeah. Right. I think it makes it easier for myself to not think back, because, you know, to me, I'm just looking at it. I'm like, how the fuck did he play so well? And like, we won Ancient. I think Magic's the last guy alive. He just nades himself, like, just, you know, like, do start this shit, like, on the major final, like, just does it for content, for vibes, and they win the major. But now I'm sitting here with, you know, with two more majors, and it's easier to think for me about it. But I think, I'm sure for the others, for Kerrigan and the rest, it's not so easy, and it's, you know, it's a thing for them to, you know, maybe have, where they have some regrets, or, like, I mean, specifically, if I think it from my side, you know, if we had a better start in Dust 2, maybe we could have finished the comeback, because this one or two rounds could have decided the game if we had those in the T side. Because I think we started like 7-0 down on Dust 2, and like, Donk had also a great start there. If I started a bit better, maybe we could have done it. So that's maybe part of the regrets, but definitely the thing is that we won two majors with Vitality. For me, it's, you know, it's kind of easier to forget about, but yeah, I can't imagine it's the case for others.
One thing I thought that was quite interesting that Apex admitted when I did my interview with him is that when you guys got to the Austin final, and obviously at that moment, it's like the biggest pressure imaginable. You've won all those trophies, the whole split, the whole season long. Everyone thinks you're going to win. And Mongols weren't even supposed to be the team that was in the final. Everyone's thinking like, they're going to come second, aren't they? It's easy. You're going to win. You've already won, again, the final, the mouse match, with the dreaded thing that people think, right? But because in this final, like, it was actually a really hard final. In fact, you personally had quite a few hard maps. Like, on that last map, you were just watching fucking Apex win all those rounds, Messi win those rounds, right? What was this final like from your perspective? Because I know now that Vitality won it, and if people zoom out, they're going to be like, they always would have won it. This would have been one of the biggest embarrassments ever to lose, though. If you'd have won all those tournaments the whole split season long, and then you just lose to Mongols out of nowhere in the grand final, I think that would be a pretty, like, surely that would be one of the biggest wounds ever. What was the experience of the final like? Were you ever worried it was slipping away from the team, or people were in a weird headspace or something? What was going on?
The final was really high pressure, that's for sure. Probably the highest pressure we felt in this team so far. I mean, we, like, winning the Grand Slam is one thing. It's pretty high pressure. I think, yeah, playing a major final with like a 7 tournament win streak on the line, and like, I don't know what the match streak was, like 30 at this moment.
Yeah, it was big.
Match streak was 30 at this moment, so like, the pressure to win this one game was extremely high. I've been in some situations where I can imagine the pressure was the same, but this one was really, really high, and I think that was the toughest part to handle. We lost the first map against Mongols, and that was like, I don't know, it was a slap in the face for sure. We go outside and it was pretty calm. We talk between the team. Apex goes to talk with Matt, I believe, with the analyst. And I don't know, normally, like, we might have a few words here and there, what we might say, like, what went bad, what we, like, I don't know, argue about one or two things. But I think here we got straight to the point. Like, forget about it. Like, this map didn't happen. And, like, in that talk, in that circle, in that moment, like, that's exactly what happened. I don't think, like, the moment we step out, like, Mirage didn't happen. I think that's what was the key for why we won that in the end, because it was, the crowd was also against us. You know, it was a tough environment to go back in. But But we just kind of just reset so, so well. Maybe the the staff and the structure and the mental preparation goes to show here how good that was. But I think just the way we reset, it was a very important thing and key thing. And I mean they were fired up, Mongols. They were like winning clutches. 9-10 was doing crazy stuff on Mirage. So it was a hard match. But I think we. What was the other two maps? It was Dust 2 and Inferno. But yeah, it was, I don't know, Dust 2 was a good map for us. So we just were able to, you know, play that map and convert. And then we had Inferno, where I think we also had pretty good ratio at the time. So, you know, I mean, talking about the maps, like we have like had 100% on so many different maps for so long. Yes. So we had that kind of confidence in the map pool. And Mirage was obviously not the best map for us. And that's where Mongols went and they won that map. So, also a reason why I think we were able to reset so easily is that we knew we had two good maps coming up, and we just need to like kind of factor out the noise, because it was loud out there, and I mean the arena really wanted Mongols to win, so it was a fun final, but yeah, again a tough one.
Because this final, as well as also the Budapest one as well, obviously, right? Normally in top teams, people always want to give credit because the team's winning. So you want to keep morale up. You want to show you respect your teammate. So people will say in every great team, oh, everyone, you know, does their part and has a more. But like usually we all mean like relative to their job. Like obviously the sportive element, we don't expect to win and frag out. Like one of the things that's been crazy about these two major finals is I don't know if I've ever seen, aside from that Magic's Life game, a supportive player like Mezzi actually have like massive games like this. Like this guy, that seems like super OP, mate, to have like one of the like lesser players that should carry the game. He was fucking insane.
I don't even know how that happens either. I mean, like it just happens so often to us that someone just steps up, and it's, I don't know, it's not even, it's just been the case in my teams, even in FaZe. Like you could have Rain just step up in a major final and get the MVP in Antwerp, and it's just, I mean it's just odd, but I mean I'm not going to say no to someone just carrying your ass in a final. Like, you're just going to accept the trophy and you're just going to sit with it, and you're not going to have any regrets. Like, you're happy with it. So, I don't know. I'm just glad to be in a team or been in teams where you have these players who are capable of doing that. And obviously, I think what people forget about Mezzi, I think he used to be that kind of a star player in Fnatic, you know, and he was picked up into Vitality, into more supportive roles, but like, you cannot forget where he came from, and I think he knows that, and he's very capable of just showing that in that major final as he did.
As you say, though, since it's something that isn't just Vitality, it's also followed you in your career, that you've had these great teammates and relationships. Does that imply that Rops is a good teammate? Because I can tell you, some of your other actual teammates in teams, they're not always sure how to read you, mate. Sometimes you've got too good a poker face. They're not sure. Are you serious? I mean, it's actually why I was kind of surprised when I met you, because I only ever saw you on Twitter doing all that fucking troll shit. I was like, the fuck? It's quite a serious guy in person, actually. So are you a good teammate, do you think? Do you get a sense that you empower people, get along with them? What do you think?
I would like to think I'm a good teammate. I'm leaving it to the others to say. And I think obviously people have mostly, as far as I know, said good things about me and stuff. Like, you know, I do make some players more motivated. I do help like just finding different resources for different moments in teams. Like, we had this saying with FaZe, with Carrigan, like me and Carrigan used to like compete, like who's going to be the last to leave the practice room? Like, is it me or him? Like, this is a competition. Like, who's going to work more? So we had like this thing going on with Carrigan. So like, you know, I tend to be a hard worker, and I try to show it. And I think I've learned that from other players in my career. I think, back in 2018, we had some rough patches with like the face it major, but you know, Sonny was used to always work hard through those moments, and I think he played well, and I think I learned some of that from that, and I just tried to carry that trend and show it to everyone who I'm in a team with, because now I'm also kind of a veteran, and I'm maybe like playing with Flamesy, like he's a younger guy, but I want to show like everyone, including him, that, you know, like you need to have hard work, and it doesn't matter what it is, and I think teams get better usually when I join them. I don't know, maybe it's Maybe it's because I'm good. Maybe it's because I motivate people. Maybe it has nothing to do with me. I don't know.
That first season in 2025, I think it'll actually go down in history as like the best season ever played in Counter-Strike Pro. Basically, you guys only lost one match. You lost the one match to Eternal Fire at the beginning. Yeah, you lost the BO1 to Legacy, but who gives a shit about that? You won the Major anyway. Nobody even remembers that. And you won 7 tournaments in a row, including the Major and the Grand Slam. Like, I don't know that you can do much a better job. Look, did a pretty good impression this year. You sort of came close already, but Major hasn't happened yet, right? If you look back, as we said, the pressure obviously to win the Major was huge, but once you've done that, like, that, you can't even dream of a season like that, right? It's impossible.
It's impossible for sure. Dude, 7 events is mental. Like, it's... I don't even know if in 15 months in my tally, I almost doubled my trophy count. Like,
yes.
Like, it's crazy. And
I counted it before Vitality, you'd won 18. Some of them will have been like the odd online ones. Let's say 16, 17. Like, you basically won half of that in one season, bro. That's insane.
Like, it's, I don't know. It's like a dream. Obviously, it's 7 tournaments where you're just, I mean, some of them you're not even doing the normal preparation. Like, we won the Melbourne final. The tournament right after, the next few days is in Copenhagen. So we fly from Melbourne to Copenhagen. I think that's Blast Rivals. And we play that. That's another best of 5 between Falcons. Like, and we just win that as well. Like, obviously, we won 7 tournaments. We had that win streak. I mean, some of the games were pretty close. But just to do it, like, yeah. I'd like to agree that this will probably go down in history. I mean, it's 7 tournaments, including a Grand Slam. And it's like, basically, like, it's someone's whole career in 6 months, which is just insane to think about.
Along those lines, I have a question, which is like a nuanced question that I think is going to be hard for a casual fan to understand, but I think you'll know what I mean by this. One of the big problems I feel like we have in Counter-Strike, both with star players and with teams, is when someone's the best, I think fans act as though it was almost like FIFA, and, you know, the player has those, like, statistics, you know, he runs this fast, he shoots that. They act like once you're the best, you're just on top and you stay there and you just do it every time. Like, so I actually think because you guys won all these tournaments, you've done it again now, all these tournaments in a row, fans do take it for granted, bro. They act like because you won the last 2, you just win the next 2 easily. Like, I don't think they realise, one, like, all the rivals are trying 24-7. Like, I can tell you, people like Blade, mate, he probably just sees fucking Vitality demos when he goes to sleep. He's just studying all the time to try and win and get back against you guys. I know also, similarly, like we were saying about Matt and Nick Stars, it's not like you do the exact same playbook every tournament. You're bringing in new things yourselves as well and trying to update and shift your map pool and things. Like, there's a lot more goes into it. Like, put it this way, when you're on the side of the person and winning these tournaments, they're not easy. None of them are easy, right? You don't really just walk in and, oh, I've won another one, lol, we're better than them. Like, there's a lot more of a challenge to it than maybe people realize.
The challenge, you mean?
Yeah. As it, put it this way, it's not, you don't just become number one and then win all these tournaments in a row. There's a reason why in history people don't tend to win 3-4 tournaments in a row. Like, this must be like a constant challenge to stay on top and to stay ahead of the meta and make sure someone doesn't catch up with you or keep psychologically dominating them, etc. There's got to be like a process there, right?
Yeah, I think the reason why we're winning this much is, I mean, I think we probably have like the near perfect roster of you know, team. We have the right pieces. We have the star player in Zaibu, who is, you know, I think in nowadays CS, you have to have this capable player to keep winning trophies. I think you can win an odd one here or there. Like, you know, I think Navi is doing right now is pretty excellent with their form and their players they have. But I think to keep going, I think you need to have that Donk or Zaibu. And we have the right pieces, and I think, you know, the structure and the staff behind the team, I think everyone is just has pretty good chemistry as well. I think the prep, as I said, the players really trust the prep when it comes to the matches. I think that's one thing, and the prep between Apex and the staff is really good in how they work. But also, I think, you know, we don't have the time always to prepare for every tournament. Like I mentioned, the Blast Rivals tournament, I mean, it was a best of 5 between us and Falcons. Both of us flew in from Melbourne. It was a pretty messy tournament. So in that sense, like, we don't have time to prepare. But I think that's where, like, you find the individuals to carry you over or or maybe sometimes you again trust the staff. They do the good prep for you, and then you execute the game plan. But I think it also comes from the thrive and motivation that, well, Apex has, but all of the rest of us as well. I think the moment that we started winning this many trophies in the beginning of 2025 is also the moment that, you know, we say this a lot, is that we don't want to waste time. Like, we know,
right,
from the moment we won those first few trophies, like probably like after EPL, like we realized we're on a win streak now. Like, we realized this is going to be a really good team, and we don't want to waste any second of it. So we just want to, I guess, kind of say like abuse this as long as we can. And, yeah, and, you know, and so far we've proven it that we can keep going, and that's like the number one thing in our minds, is that we wanna just live this as long as we can. Like obviously one day, like, there's not gonna be any more vitality this specific roster.
Yeah.
But we don't know when that comes, and until it doesn't, like, we will keep going and try our best.
Apex told me something that sounds really crazy if you're not in you guys' shoes and you haven't experienced winning this much. He said that he had a conversation, I think it was the Nick Stars, he had a conversation before that Blast Austin Major where they actually discussed, even though he meant it half jokingly, like, maybe we should lose. Like, maybe it's actually bad to like win every tournament, because obviously, like I said earlier, if you won all the rest of the season but then you lost the Major, you'd regret it. You'd almost feel like maybe it would have been better to have, you know, I got the obvious example, me would be lose to Falcons or something, so then you had to like work harder, or it drove you, or maybe even you could argue it relieves some of the pressure if you win every single tournament, you never lose a series. Like, is it real? Do you think, in a way, even though it must be, there must be a level of confidence comes from having a win streak of 30 series, there also is a lot of pressure. Like, in some ways, I know what you, but it is weird. I'll tell you a brief side story. You'll know what I mean by this. When NIP had that famous streak at the beginning of CSGO where they won 87 maps in a row on LAN, they actually describe it, Robs, as when they finally lost, they were almost like, it was a relief. They were like, finally, we can just play normal CS again. Like, the pressure of knowing you never lose was kind of like actually weighing on them, even though you'd think it'd make them the ultimate confident team, you know. Is this, do you know what Apex means by this? Do you relate to it?
Yeah, there's a point for sure. And I'm sure we had this conversation many times, like, you know, half joking, half serious, like, maybe we should just cut this win streak and make things easier for the Major, because obviously there's going to be pressure. And then the final was proof of that, because that was probably the highest pressure environment any of us had been in our careers. Oh, I think I know Apex is different, because for them it's the Paris Major in France, so of course for them it's different, but just the context, yeah, the pressure was high, and I think we joked about it that we should try to lose. And the thing is, like, we tried to win, but it wasn't our priority. Like I said, for this Atlanta tournament, like, this tournament is not a priority, and like the fans think like we're not giving a fuck at all, but that means just that we don't do our usual prep, but we just take a bit of time to rest, and then yes, when we're at the tournament, we give our 100%, no matter what the prep is. Like, we will be at the tournament, play the game every day to make sure we're at least trying to win, but just that before the tournament we can use the time to rest a bit, because we want to be better off for the Major, which was the case for Austin. And yes, we didn't actually, I don't think we had that big of a focus on Dallas. But, you know, the good thing is, because we won this Dallas, this is the reason now we have the second Grand Slam.
True. With
vitality. Because, you know, looks in the end, that's the difference. But obviously, yeah, again, like, when we play that tournament, I don't think we're at 100%, but somehow we still win, and I think we were thinking if this is gonna add more pressure, and it did. And I mean, it's true what Epic said. It's it was the case that if we would have lost, it probably would have eased off some pressure.
I mean, put it this way, obviously, at the moment, we don't know what happens yet at the IEM Claw Major at the time of recording. This is actually obviously just after IEM Atlanta. But I even thought the same thing when I heard you guys before the Blast Rivals, before Atlanta, say the same thing of like, we didn't practice, and basically on this American trip, we're just taking it as a trip. We're going to play, you know, we're going to try the matches, but we're not like, it's not life and death. Part of me even thought the same thing. It's why actually when you lost to Na'Vi, I actually thought, surely it can't be the end of the world. Because it's the same concept, right? It's like, in a way, to give yourself that little bit of a break and not go as hard at every single tournament. If you end up winning the Major, it won't matter if you lost Atlanta, right?
I think the long story short is obviously we won the Grand Slam in Rio, and that's what really mattered.
You guys also would have gone way harder if you still needed the Grand Slam at Atlanta, right?
If it wasn't the case, right, we would come here in Atlanta and like we would have been in the office 24/7, right, like trying to close off this Grand Slam before the major, because Cologne is also a Grand Slam event. We don't want to have the Grand Slam and the major on time.
True.
That was the goal.
Right.
And like what makes me a bit tilt right now is when I see the fans, like, why didn't they just withdraw from the tournament?
Sure.
Mate, that's not how it works. We cannot withdraw from a tournament.
Yes.
That's for that reason. We cannot just, because we don't want to play. We cannot.
And like you say, at the time of agreeing to the invite, you didn't know you were going to win the Grand Slam. Like, it'd be stupid to withdraw and then need that tournament. Be like, shit, we could have gone there and won it. Yeah, of course.
Because I don't know the exact date for when you accept the tournaments. I think it's like 3 months prior or something like that.
So
obviously, you cannot predict these things, but you try to set out the schedule and make the plan. What's the best for your case? And that was the case. And if we won the Grand Slam in Rio, it meant we're gonna have some time to rest a bit, because you know, one thing is, well, we deserve it because we won a tournament and we won this Grand Slam. It was a big goal. It was a big goal for the year. And the next goal is to win the major. So we want to prepare for the next goal, which is take a bit of rest and you know, come into the major.
By the way, this is an appropriate moment to ask this. Obviously, you've won 3 Grand Slams, right? Bro, it's pretty good anyway. I've always thought it is pretty cool that Dupree can go, I've got 5 majors. That's fucking insane. Like, most players dream of winning one. Like, Nico wants one, you know? Right? But it's one thing to win a tournament, to win. Grand Slams are ridiculous. Like, people will know in history, aside from Twitch, there's not many people have ever done 2, mate. Obviously, in Vitality, it's happening, etc., right? The idea of winning 3, I mean, people already know, if you're internet persona, you like to flex. It's a pretty good flex to have 3 gold bars, mate. That's fucking, that alone looks insane in the pictures. What do you think about this accomplishment of winning 3 Grand Slams? It's surely not something you can really dream of. You have to be in the process of winning them before they seem real, right? I always think until you get to 3, you can't really think of winning the Grand Slam, can you? Like, on 2, it's hard to win 2 tournaments. A lot of people don't always do. What do you think about this being the only person to win 3?
I'm pretty excited to be like in a tier of its own. Like, I've never been in a let's say like a club of like unique players where you have your own achievement, and I think it's one which maybe I have for now. I don't know for how long it will stay, hopefully for some time, but I mean, I'm pretty proud of it. I think if you compare winning Grand Slam to a major, I think it's harder. I think for to win a major, you just have to be, you have to have some luck because you have to peak at the right time. But I think for the Grand Slam, you need to have a consistent team. You need to have consistent success. You need to just be consistent on so many levels that, you see only, I think, 5 teams now have done Vitality twice, and then the other 4, which is, Astralis, Navi, Liquid FaZe. So those teams, you know, you can see their consistency, but there's only been 6 Grand Slams so far in what?
Yeah, you've won half of them.
9 years.
It's pretty good.
So I think it's pretty good, and it's a quite hard achievement. Yeah, again, when I compare it to something else like a major. So in that sense, I'm pretty proud, and I think it's a unique situation. I'm glad to be here.
Even though in these teams, especially in modern CS, you get to win millions of dollars, like amazing amounts of money, I also do think, actually, whoever designed that from like ESL or Intel or whatever, the idea you get the gold bar, bro, even though millions of dollars sounds great on paper, a gold bar just looks sick as fuck, you know what I mean? Like that's like the ultimate flex, mate.
Yeah, that's the best looking trophy I have in my personal cabinet. You know, like historically, no player gets to keep a trophy on the tournament wins. All of them go to the
head office or whatever. Yeah, sure.
Team's office. So, you know, for fans to know, like, we don't keep any of those. So whenever we get like a medal or something, that's pretty cool. But when you get that gold bar, that's pretty sick to keep.
Yes. If people wonder, that's why even Apex on Twitter will be like, please make medals for every tournament, because otherwise the big trophy just goes to Vitality. Yeah, of course. That's just the industry. That's the way it is in every team, of course. Okay, what about this? To rewind a second, I actually wonder the same thing. When you guys won the first season in 2025 and you beat everyone, when you then went straight afterwards and at Cologne, Maus finally beat you and got their one win and got to fucking act like they'd won the Grand Slam themselves, right? In that moment, and this might sound like a weird question, but was there actually a level of relief of like, finally we've lost? I mean, that series streak is impossible too. Like 37 in a row. Like again, no one will ever do that, mate. That's impossible to win 37 in a row. Like in a way, part of you does wonder when are we finally going to lose, right?
Yeah, that's one thing to lose a streak, but I think it was not as important. Obviously, we were in the semi of Cologne, so I think that was the main thing. And when we lost that, I think that was, you know, that was a thing that hurt us a lot, because you wanna win Cologne no matter
what. Sure, yeah.
Like, don't care about no win streak, nothing. So that was a thing to we were like sad about, and like we again like a slap in the face because we were winning for a long time, and that was like the first moment we lost, and it was disappointing, very disappointing, because you know Cologne is one of the big ones, and you always have a goal to win it, and it's gonna be the case for this year as well and any other year. But yeah, it was just a disappointing game. I remember I had a pretty decent game myself, as far as I remember it. I had some clutches and stuff, but I think we didn't really figure it out as a team in that match, and Maus got the better of us. Yeah.
Obviously, the craziest thing about the way 2025 ended is the first season you win 7 trophies, and in the second you win just 2. I'm doing the air quotes there, because 2 trophies is still fucking good, and especially the major, that's pretty good. But obviously, in contrast to season 1, it was way less wins. And in fact, I remember, it's funny that now Vitality's back on top of winning tournaments, everyone acts like it's obvious. Bro, every fan was saying, like, it's the end, like, it's over, they're never going to win again. Like, especially when you guys lost to Falcons, Fury, like, this is when all the fans were like, oh, they're done, they're washed, like, it's over. Like, was there ever a moment that you thought the team was in crisis? Did you ever worry? I mean, by the way, you were still in every semi, but even so, what was the perception within Vitality when he stopped winning tournaments?
I think the first reaction, obviously we made all the semis. That was the one thing. But I think after this, I don't know if there was a tournament in Malta, I think Blast Bounty. I think we had like a talk there, like what's going wrong. Like that was maybe the second time we lost in a semi, and like, you know, you're trying to figure out like what's going wrong. And in my head, like, well, it's not a big problem. Like, we're doing semis, and we just need to like just step it up again a notch and find our groove. So I think in that sense, like, we were having like serious talks and what's going wrong, and we were disappointed in the results. But like the results weren't bad. Like any other team would, as we said, would be happy yeah. to take those. Like we were making semis, second places, and all the trophy here and there. So I think in the sense where, like, again, fans say, like, we're done, it's fine. We're in the semis. Like, you're just over-exaggerating things. And, I mean, that's how things are. Obviously, if you compare the first season to the second, it wasn't as great. But in any other team, I think anyone would take that second season with all the semis and the few trophies we had.
Yes. By the way, one thing I want to ask, because obviously it even continues now and people are very interested to see what will happen with Carrigan, but when Falcons played you guys, there is a bizarre thing where just only in that head-to-head matchup, they're actually the best team at beating Vitality. I mean, look, they do have insane players. One thing I want to ask is, from your side, you must have a very interesting perspective, because bizarrely, actually against teams that are worse than you, they have a harder time. Like everyone's seen, they haven't won a trophy still as of the time of this recording. Like, what's your perception of Falcons? Like, is there a reason they're so good against you? Does it surprise you they never win?
It does surprise me a bit. Obviously, it's a super team, no doubt. And I think that's the reason why they do so well against us. I mean, when we prep, we try to find things, we see things, but then we say, like, this is a team who wants to take duels, or, I mean, I don't know for sure if Falcons want that, but they're going to be good in a duel, so we don't want to give them that many. And I think that's usually where they've been better, is just, like, their individuals popping off so far in every game we played against them. I mean, the funny fact is even Kiksan played really well now that he's benched for Carrigan, but, you know, they've just always found like the form against us, and it's been really hard to just play against them. And I think that's probably the surprising part, why is they haven't, you know, won much when they've really like destroyed us a few times, and they've been playing well, but they can't find that form in, I don't know, some playoff matches or in the finals. Because, you know, I mean, notably when you look at Monacy so far, that's like even from the outside, it hurts to see him having so many second places. Sure. And for Nico as well recently. So it's weird and sad to see. And yeah, I mean, at the same time, I hope they don't, because it means we're going to lose. So I hope they'll do good, but not so good.
By the way, is Apex just joking when he always says, he's even told me it privately, that like the joke in Vitality is you all just really hope Donk never joins Falcons. Is that true?
Yeah, that's the joke for sure. That's
it would be pretty insane. I've got to say, that'd be a nuts team.
We'll take a long vacation when that happens.
Right. By the way, that's even one thing I would actually ask, because obviously I actually think, by the way, that video you and Apex made on April Fools this year was fucking hilarious. That was really well executed, where the joke was like, as if for the good of the game, you have to like take yourselves out so other people can get a chance to win. But the reason why it was a funny clip was it showed like a level of self-awareness that even you guys get, how ridiculous it is to just win every tournament. Like, it's, like, that's not normal. Like, in everyone else's career, even the greatest team still sometimes lose a tournament. Like, one thing I can find is kind of cool, it's why I've a lot of questions like this in the interview, is even though your team is winning all the time, it's not maybe like a fan would think, you're not all delusional, you're not all like, we're the greatest to ever do it, like we can't lose, like fuck these guys, they're all shit. Like, it seems like everyone in the team actually has a very sort of reasonable, grounded perspective on what you're accomplishing, and even if you're trying to accomplish great things, you can somehow approach it like in a day-by-day approach. It seems like you have a very healthy attitude towards being the champions, etc.
Yeah, I think it comes with experience. I think, you know, Apex is being more loud about it, and sort of like, because there's some fans on Twitter where they say a certain thing and then you see Apex like just full flaming them and like coming with some.
I think that's hilarious though, but yeah, true.
Yeah, so that happens, and I think I've probably done it as well more recently, and then I've seen people like, whoa, like Apex has really got to you, like he's affected you, and you're okay. this vocal asshole. And I think it just comes from like the experience. It's like you say, I think it's just recognizing and like, you know, it's like just understanding what we've done, but also I think being still pretty respectful about it, because it's not like it's any achievement, and it's not like it's our first time. Like, we've all won tournaments in this team before, aside from maybe Flimsy and Messi, actually. I'm not sure how much they won before, probably nothing. But For Apex, and even for myself, like, he's sitting at 40 trophies. I'm sitting at something 35, something. I'm not even keeping count at this point, you know? So, like, that's the sort of run we're at right now. And just because it's not our first time, like, we've been in eras of Counter-Strike where we've played against Astralis, we've played against Navi, who are a great team in with Simple, and, you know, those teams, they deserve their flowers. And I think, obviously, for us, we know it's the same case for us. Like, it's no doubt, because the stats and the statistics, like the trophies, achievements, everything is there. So, you know, we say a few words here and there, but it's not like we do it too overboard. Like, I think it's pretty chill, and we just recognize our achievements, and I think we can be cocky about it sometimes here and there. And obviously, when we lose, like, we might try it back a bit. Like, we're not being overly too much, you know.
By the way, along those lines, that's another thing. It's a bit like what you said about Apex earlier. One thing I also really appreciate, as someone who's seen a lot of history and seen all the great teams come and go, is it's like you said earlier, people never appreciate normally when they're in their window of winning that's the window to win. People will do things like take it for granted that they'll be on top, or that, like, until someone beats me, I'm the best, etc. One thing I appreciate about you and Apex, it seems that you have a shared vision in this sense, is even though you've won all these trophies, it's not like you're like, right, I don't need to worry about trophies now, I've won them all anyway. You understand that, like, one day you'll stop winning trophies, and you might never win another one, and like in a few years, who knows how many years you'll be able to win for. So while you still can now, you've got to be a bit greedy, right? You've got to try and win the most you ever can. Like if I'm Apex, fuck 40, I want to get like 60 so no one will ever match me ever, and I'll be able to go down as the greatest of all time. Like, that's a real thing to think about. It's a goal to drive for, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he actually said that he wants to reach the amount of trophies that no one can ever touch him. You know, that's the thing, and the drive that he has. And I mean, I was like him, but maybe not as much. But it's definitely affected me to the point where, like, I really start to like have this kind of drive as he has, and like kind of be this, you know, untouchable in terms of like whatever amount of trophies you have, or how much success we can achieve with this current team, because we're still going. And it's like a really important trait to have, because I mean, there's, I think nowadays it's pretty hard to like kind of fall off or get this one trophy and then you just are gone, I guess, because maybe it probably happened more back in the days, but like the thing nowadays is that you have this support staff, you have these people in your team who kind of take care of it and just make sure those things don't happen, and keep just they kind of push you in the right direction. And I think that's maybe the difference that also just helps our team as well.
When at the end of last year, that Furia team started to beat you guys and obviously won that IM tournament against you in the finals, etc. Even though these matches on paper, they're all really close games. They're all like 13-10, 13-11 overtime, etc. Right? Was it ever a consideration? Like, this might actually just be the new top team. Like, maybe they have our number or something, or maybe they're good against us in close matches. Did you ever worry that they were taking over?
I think Furia was a... I mean, obviously, they were a pretty good team in the end of 2025. I don't know if I would consider them top one. I mean, they were definitely in the argument for top one, I think, at some point. I think the game against Chengdu we had against them was indeed very close. I mean, it was 3-0 for them. I mean, you could argue, let's say, a round or here or there, it could have been a 3-0 for us. I think Agent, we actually lost some pretty important clutches, which they won.
And it was crazy to play it. That's kind of ballsy to even let that through. That was the first veto shenanigans.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even know if I'm like allowed to say it, but like Ancient, like we prepared it for these kinds of matches the whole year. Like,
oh, right.
Most notably, the first game I ever played with Vitality is the game against, Eternal Fire.
Yes.
With, you know, the Turkish roster. And they're really good on Anubis, but they permaban Ancient.
Yes.
So that's like the first moment we play in this year, 2025, is the moment we start to think about Ancient, because we're not so good on Anubis at that moment, and we're trying to think, you know, outside the box. And like, I'm coming in from a team, from FaZe, who used to do these things with Vertigo, and I'm coming into a team who's never played Ancient. Apex, Zywoo, they have zero recorded matches on this map on Ancient TV, and like that would be crazy to play this map or even touch it. But you know, I think I came in and they sort of had this open-mindedness, and we kind of found some time to actually practice this map and just prepare it to the level that we can play it against a team who permabans it, and we have some sort of basics and defaults and whatever. So yeah, that was the idea for that, and you know, we had it in our back pocket for a long time, and we felt like it was pretty good moment to test it out, and I don't think it was that bad. I mean, obviously, yeah, there were some clutches, some close rounds. It was double digits on all maps, and could have been the other way.
Since you came into the Budapest Major without the same pressure, in fact, you had even lost the final before that tournament. It was only the Pro League you guys won. Did you have the same expectation? Like, did you guys think you were going to win the Major? Did you have total confidence?
I think we had less confidence, for sure. I think the amount of confidence is just, again, like is as good as you were at your last tournament. You know, you're always as good as your last match. So I think, you know, this whole season of 2025, second season, we weren't that good. So the confidence wasn't as good as the first season. But then again, you know, when we set out goals for the second season, so after the summer break, it was to win the Major. Coloma was also part of the goals, but when you got to the Major, that was already far gone, so we forgot about that. So the Major was the only thing left, and the other one actually was, we made a sub goal in the middle of the second season. It was to win a tournament before the Major, and we actually managed to achieve it with the EPL in the studio environment. And I think that was the thing that kind of, you know, gave us that level of I don't know, if it's confidence or something else, but it gave us a level of belief that we could replicate this first season performance, and like we weren't only doing semis or second places, and we could win a tournament. So I think this sub goal was pretty important, and we actually managed to achieve it in time for the Major to, again, go in a pretty good feeling.
In the Major, famously in the playoffs, you actually, it's just the case in your career, apparently, you got like the insane side of the bracket again, as usual. You got the one where it's like, oh shit, we're going to play either Falcons or Spirit in the semis, and ended up being Spirit, right? I always wanted to know this. That first game, the Mirage one that goes to overtime, that everyone knows Donk was like pissed after or whatever, then after that, you just beat them easily, right? I always wondered if they'd have somehow won one extra clutch and they'd won that Mirage game, was that actually an opponent you did think could beat you? Because I always wondered what that third map would have been like. I think Donk probably does too.
I think no doubt they could beat us. I mean, I don't think you ever have this for sure mentality against any team, especially when the team has Donk, that guy in them. So, you know, Spirit is always a dangerous team for many different reasons. One of them is Donk, but I don't know if we would have had doubts after the first map. I mean, I think it's pretty standard procedure to, you know, let's say you lose the first map, like you try to just reset and mentally do whatever to be ready for our next two. I mean, it happens all the time. So I think, especially for the major there, I think we were in that situation in the Austin major final where we lost the first map. And I think that would have been probably worse than losing that map against Spirit. So I think we would have been okay, and we've been in worse situations if that were to happen.
Let me, I've got a creative way to ask you what it's like to play against Donk. So I'll give you an example. One of the reasons why we're like literally 10 years ago, when the SK, the Brazilian team, was on top with Cold Zero and Fallen, I had a nickname I gave to Cold Zero, which was the Brazilian Terminator. Because like in the movie with the Terminator, the idea is it doesn't matter how fast you run, where you go, it's just walking, you're constantly walking. You know, the guy's constantly coming after you. And I always felt that Cold Zero was like that. Because when you play against him, people told me you have that feeling of like, it's not even like he's doing the craziest rounds, but it's just always coming. It's inevitable he's going to come to the bomb site eventually. It's inevitable you'd have to face this guy, and it just, that's almost like psychologically draining to people. What is it like to play against Donk? Like what aura does he have in the game? It seems like he has some effect on people. What's it like to play against Donk in a match?
I think the first time we played against him, obviously, was when you got that impression of Donk was the Kato with FaZe, and like there you just like, you didn't really have surprises. Like the surprise was just like he just won the duel every time, you know. Like that's the surprise. Like you know he's there, you know he's gonna be in front of you, you know he's gonna be confident, he's gonna come for aggression, and he just makes it work every time. I think that was probably the surprise that we had. And it was just like annoying and difficult to handle, because like what can you do? Because you have to somehow win the round, and to win the round you need to win the duel, but you're not gonna do that when Donk is there. So that was, yeah, it was pretty rough, and that was how it felt. Like you're just, doesn't matter what you do, this guy's gonna be there, and he's gonna have an AK in his hands, because whatever, this team is gonna drop him whenever they get an AK, and so it's just hard, he's gonna one-tap you.
In the final of this major, the Budapest one, obviously you had this totally ridiculous, like surreal moment where even though on the other side of the bracket, people would have thought, right, you're probably going to play Furia, or if not Furia, maybe Na'Vi. Na'Vi was having an awesome tournament. Instead, somehow you end up playing FaZe Clan, who, as I said at the beginning of the interview, this was probably one of the worst FaZe Clan tournaments ever before this. Like, they could have gone out to those two Brazilian teams in stage one. Everyone was flaming the fuck out of them on the internet. Everyone was like, kick Brokey, Jacob sucks. Like, everyone was going really harsh, bro. Like, I don't think even they thought they were going to make it the final. What was it like to know you're playing FaZe in the final? Like, was it bizarre? What was the sensation in that sense?
I probably had the worst feeling ever going into this grand final. I think...
Didn't you say you like didn't sleep or something, right? You're like just up all night, right?
I think I slept like 2 hours before this grand final, and I had like no food before the game. Like, I couldn't eat. I just, like, I wasn't feeling it at all, because it's such a weird feeling to play your previous team in a major final. Like, and it's like, it was so hard to handle, like mentally, like mentally, I think I was fine mentally, but just like my body was not like, you know, like there for me. Like I something was off in my brain that was causing these things. And that was just really weird. And to even top it off with that last map I had, like that's like makes it even more,
probably one of your like, best games ever. That your overpass game, yeah.
In terms of map ratings, yeah, it's the best game map I ever played, is for sure. And it's just in the combination of not having sleep, like having this kind of a, I don't know, a mental struggle before the game, and then just doing that in the last map in the major final of the year as well, 2025, to finish it off is, I don't know, it was a big surprise for myself.
Because I always thought the weirdest thing about that final was, this is how I know even they know it was kind of like a weird run. Because, bro, they won the first map, they won Nuke. Like, if you win a map in a BO5, you should think, hey, it's possible to win. But I remember on that overpass game, when they kept cutting, like, to the... Because, obviously, Carrigan gets on camera all the time, because he's also really good at playing up to the camera. When they would show Carrigan, bro, FaZe was, like, laughing as they were losing the game. They knew there was no chance they could win this match. They were just like, lol, what are we even doing here? Like, that's the most weird major final I've ever seen, mate.
Yeah, the overpass, I remember they were I think obviously they were down so much. I think they had to like start, you know, laughing about it, because you can't stay depressed about it too long. To laugh about it, maybe it turns around, maybe not. At least you had, you know, you have no regrets. But it was cool to play a best of five in a major final, obviously the first time. I think the storylines throughout the year kinda helped us. Again, we lose the first map, which was the same in Austin Major. So in that sense, like we weren't too worried, like just one map, especially now we're at best of five, we have more chances. We knew going into this, like they're going to pick a Nuke. Nuke was a map working for them so far this tournament. It was pretty good for them. And I don't think we were the best on Nuke at the time. So yeah, I think the veto was fine. And losing the first map wasn't a big deal. But I think, yeah, playing a best of five major final was pretty special. And again, like this just the day before was probably the hardest day before any match I ever had in my career with this FaZe match.
Should Rops have won the MVP?
Well, I mean, I think there's a case for both, as HLTV has decided. I mean, they went with Zaibu because he has I think he had better like stats in round wins, and I think that's fair. Obviously, it's what contributes to the round wins. It's also a case where, I don't know, maybe I deserve it. Maybe people, I'm like the people's MVP for the culture,
right,
or whatever. Like,
sure.
That's cool for me as well. Like, okay. I'll be remembered as, yeah, like that. Like, I don't, like, that's fine. You know,
I'm proud
of the performance there. Like, obviously it's a pretty special one, and like probably the best major, like, statistic I ever played. And like, I don't know, it was maybe like close to, or even better than Shanghai, but in that sense, yeah, I'm just proud of the performance. And I think as a player, you kind of, at the end, like, I don't really care for the MVP if I get the major trophy. Like, that's the thing that matters.
True.
Especially, I mean, it's just a special environment for me in that moment, because we play FaZe, who is, I've been with for 3 years in the past, and it's just so special to have that kind of matchup in a major final. And yeah, doing the performance there is great, because that's the moment you want to do that, doing it in the big moments,
yeah,
in the finals, in the majors. Like, you don't want to be the guy who performs, you know, in online and then doesn't do it in the playoffs,
yes,
or in the big games. Like, you want to perform in big games, and I'm happy I did.
I've got a cool angle for you on this, though, which is, even though fans now, it's true, one of the things that makes Vitality OP is, look, maybe Apex will never win one because it's hard for an IGL to get the stats, but in theory, every other player, even Messi had one, like at this run here, where he had insane stats too. In a normal team, he could have been an MVP of this event, right? That's obviously a really OP factor if almost every player, Flames has done it, if every player could in theory be the MVP, it is big. But I will say, just to correct the record, It, true, in theory, each player can, but every tournament pretty much is Zaibu plus someone else. Like, he is the star player. He does have insane numbers. So I would say it like this. I want to know from your perspective as his teammate, if I actually was Zaibu, though, bro, that's also awesome, because think about how much of his career, you know, there was that stat that before this team, every single time he was, like, in the finals, even if he lost, usually he'd be the MVP, mate. But he was, like, the MVP where it's, like, I have to 1v9 the game, you know, like, maybe my team plays badly, or all the pressure's on me. If I don't perform, we can't win. Like, it must also be kind of cool that people can compete against each other in the same team for the MVP. And it doesn't always have to be Zaibu. Like, he could actually have an off map and he could win still. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm sure he would love it. I mean, I think he would be happy to take it a bit easy. Not to, you know, say he's going to take it easy, but he's not going to have as much to do in some games. You know, I'm not him. I don't know how he's going to feel. I think he said it in some interview where, like, oh, he'd be happy to habit or let it go, or I think at the same time he said that other interview before Rotterdam that I think he said something along the lines that as long as he's playing, he's not going to let anyone get his MVP in okay. the next tournament.
Okay.
I got one, but you know, it's a thing that at the end of the day, it we don't really care about, because you want to win the trophy again, and your teammates, your friends, you don't really care if one's better than the other. And I know there's teams and players out there who have had like issues and arguments where someone stepping on other shoes is causing issues or whatever, and this is maybe, I don't know, making things not work, or at the end of the day, like causing some roster changes. So that can happen, but I think like logically, like in a good team, in a good environment, that should never happen. And I think we have that.
By the way, this year particularly, though, I mean, you said you and Apex are looking at the stats. You probably know this. This year, you have an insane stat for you personally, which is normally this year, you have a 1.14 rating. In grand finals, you're a 1.127. Why are you like Mr. Finals now?
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I've had a few good finals recently. It just comes. Like, it's hard to say why. The thing is, like, people think, like, I'm just, like, taking it easy. Like, and I know this is the worst.
As in, they think you're just chilling in the group stage, yeah, and you want to try the finals, but right.
The thing is, I know Richard Lewis said, I'm taking it easy in 2024 in phase. Like, I'm just, like, chilling, taking it back. I'm having bad stats. Like, I'm doing the same thing all the time. Like, I cannot decide what rating I get for each match and day. Like, you know, it just happens to be, and you kind of do your best you can, like in any environment. And it just happens to be in the finals recently. I mean, it's obviously it helps again if you have a good team, but I think maybe that's the case where I'm just doing things consistently. And again, like some players, some teams, they slip up in big games or they crumble a bit, and I have that opportunity. Or again, because, you know, the fact that we're winning so much, and like the parts of or the keys to our team is having good like executes and mid rounds give me more opportunities in these big games to also thrive. And I think that's also what makes me definitely have this kind of success.
In FaZe, even though because of FaZe bullshit, in theory, there was many, many times you could have won a major, even in a bunch of the finals. You only did get to win one major. What does it mean to have three majors now and maybe be able to win more? What's the significance to Rops?
I think majors are just the greatest thing to win as a player, because you have that like connection throughout history with, you know, where it began in 2013 with, I think, with DreamHack Winter. And then, like, you get your name on that, you know, like that trophy that you used to have in let's say in CS:GO, you have like the major trophy in the game. You have your names on that, or nowadays you have a different one in CS2. But also, like, just the prestige is in general, without taking any of that trophy thing into account, like the prestige is just like so great and so nice to be a part of. Like, you kind of feel that just accomplished by yourself just by winning one, you know. But yeah, winning three is already like, I'm like, you know, I'm still in a part where I'm playing this career and I like haven't had much time to reflect, but like I know, like, already now this is like a very big thing that I've achieved. And like by the time I get to have time to reflect and years down the line, I'll probably look back and I'll be very proud. And yeah, I'm just extremely proud already now.
By the way, obviously this year, one of the opponents, as people have seen, that in theory you never lose to, except at this Atlanta event, is Na'Vi. Like, what's weird is all the matches are all super close. They're doing a great job. Like, I think they're killing it, bro. Here's what's weird. I even told Blade after the Blast Rivals one, like, you did a great job, mate. I don't actually know that. Like, look, there's obviously rounds you'd look at. Like, I wish this went differently. But what more could you hope for? If essentially, if I'm the coach, I prepped that team. The players played great. We just couldn't beat probably the best team to ever play CS. One of the problems is this, Rops. They're not just losing. Specifically, I looked this up. This year against Na'Vi, you have a 1.3 rating, bro. Why do you just don't... You specifically fucking love playing these guys. What is it about Na'Vi? Why are you thriving against them?
Yeah. one of these cases where, like, oh, I wish I had the answer. I think it's It's funny because we played so much Anubis against them, and I think all the Anubis games I've had were like really good, even the one now where we lost to Atlanta. And like, I don't like Anubis, but it's just like things that just go, you know, against my like point of view, and things that I don't like, they just go the different ways. I'm having a good game on Anubis when I don't like the map at all. So like things like this, like just unexpected, like I wouldn't expect to have a 1.3 rating against Na'Vi, but well, suddenly I have it and I'm doing good maps on Anubis, and like just things that you don't think will ever happen. So I'm just like kind of, again, like being ready for the moment and letting, you know, the odds maybe be in your favor a bit and just trying to make the most out of it.
Let me ask you, since I asked you about the nuke specialty, I want to ask you about Dust2 briefly. So obviously Dust2 has been the team that Vitality, that's the map that you guys are almost unbeatable on. Like, you've lost a joke the amount of times you've lost. I think the stat's something like you've played it like 47 times and lost like 6 or something absurd like that. Like some impossible number, right? Even though everyone knows in the history of Counter-Strike, that's supposed to be a map where the T's can get all sorts of crazy rounds off and you can have frag in and AWPers can take over. Like, what's the special... Why, you specifically, but also as a team, why is the team so good on Dust2?
I think the answer to that is Zywoo. Because let me tell you. So when I played against Vitality on Dust2, I'm the B player. I need to cross the mid doors. This guy hits the fucking cross.
He does, yeah.
99% of the time.
But if you play someone online and they hit like that, they just cheat. They definitely cheat. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So he's so good at that. So that's like an instant advantage, I feel like. And obviously it's a half joke, but the thing is, like, in when I played against Vitality, I just had to smoke the cross in mid.
Right.
Like, there was no other way. Like, I'm just going to smoke mid. I'm going to waste my smoke because I don't want to get killed or tagged by Zywoo on the cross. So I think, yeah, just that's one thing I've understood about this Dust2 that we have, and also playing against Vitality. I think... the positions are definitely really, really key for us. I think we probably have, like the near perfect positions on all of them. I think we have Flamesy, you know, in long, which is a very active and like kind of a crazy guy on CT side on long. There's going to be a lot of long fights, and he likes to take those. He likes to be in that chaos. He likes to be in that environment. I think me on that B bomb side is, you know, pretty good with that experience and anchoring I have, adding the double up here and there. And then, like, again, I say, like, Zywoo just being everywhere on the map. Like, you never know where he is, because he can be everywhere, and he's probably the best player in the world to ever exist so far. You know, you never know one day with Dunk and Zywoo, but so far he's probably one of the best to ever be, and he's just always gonna have opportunities to take a duel or to be in the action. So I think that's what makes it so good. And then you top it off with, you know, with Mezzy and Apex, who are like this, they're like the vocal pieces of the map, where Apex is calling on T side. I think Mezzy is doing a fantastic role on the secondary B, like mid fights and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just really good.
On the T side, I want to ask specifically in your case, that also seems like a map where you have like an unbelievable amount of control on the T side. Like, I always tell people, if you think about everyone in the world's played a million games of Dust2, on a normal game of Dust2, if the terrorists go to the A site, especially via catwalk, normally it's classic that people do like a rotation as the CTs. You come through the mid doors, you come down lobby. I've noticed when people play against you, they can't do that, bro, because you just have like 8 million off angles you play or something. And you can tell it's making the CTs take twice as long to even do a rotation. Oh, they just go CT spawn, bro. Like, you're in their heads.
Yeah, it happens. Sometimes you have to keep it a surprise. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does. But so far, when I've tried to cut off the rotations recently, I've had a pretty good success rate in, you know, not allowing that rotation to happen. And sometimes it's one frag, sometimes it's a double frag. It helps to have that team with you know, can execute on the bomb site, and you just have to deal with the rotations. You know, as my life as a Lurk, that's very simple. It's very easy. And it also gives me options to whether I want to cut that rotation or, you know, Apex sometimes said I'll go long instead of Mezzy, and they will never expect me. And like, that's just like this very easy freedom that I have when you have this kind of a successful team.
even though this season, this sounds like a ridiculous sentence to say, but I'll say it. Even though this season wasn't actually as successful as the first season in 2025, because you only won, whatever, five or six tournaments this time, some outrageous amount still an insane amount, right? People maybe will actually overlook this season compared to the 2025 one, because it had the series streak, it had the tournament streak, etc. This season's had its own insane shit, though, where, again, you've done historic things differently. Like, you had the streaks where it was, like, big event maps in a row. Then you had the one where it was, like, all the playoff maps in a row. You're like, even though you were losing an odd game here and there, you'd never lose a playoff map. Like, one of the things I want to know in Vitality is, do people really just have, like, a totally open mindset to what's possible in this team? It feels like every day you're breaking a new record that no one even thought was a thing that could be done. Like, by the way, that stat where you guys, even though now it got broken, did the big event top four streak, mate, that is the best in the history of Counter-Strike. Even Astralis didn't do that. It felt like Astralis was always top four, but even they apparently had the odd tournament where, I don't know, they went out 58th or something. So these feel like impossible records. No one even thought someone could do that.
Yeah, it's definitely in the case that it's like, it's just the achievement itself already is just getting to such a ridiculous level that it's in its own category. I think the reason obviously is again the staff, and I think Apex specifically. I think Apex is just, he has that drive as a leader and as a person to just like keep constantly pushing us. And even though like we had this small break in Atlanta or before Fort Worth, when we get to the tournament, like he is, you know, he's on everyone's asses to play the game and to make sure we perform. And that I think we realized from obviously day one when we got together and got this chemistry that like we're gonna not waste any time, and we don't want to waste any time when we have this kind of successful team. You never know when's your next trophy. Like maybe this could be the last one. So we just keep pushing each other, and you know Apex is one of the big reasons for that, and the staff as well. Obviously we have Jack the performance coach, who is now also part-time manager. He's doing two jobs at once, so he's a big reason. And we just have this really healthy environment where we're being sort of like hard on each other for these specific things to make sure that things get done. Again, like we just need to get these things done to be able to perform good, like playing the game or checking the demos of the next opponent or making sure, yeah, just we practice well, like we don't waste our time in practice, because you're gonna have shit practice sometimes, or you're gonna mess things up, or you're gonna have low energy, low motivation. But even like if that happens, like we have these open talks where like that's fine that happens, but we're gonna step it up again, we're gonna do better.
By the way, one player I didn't actually ask specifically about, so let me do it now so we've done everyone, is obviously Flames, right? I think an interesting detail about him is he already won everything last year with Vitality, but something happened to him this year, bro. Like, he got even better. Like, people can see his numbers are crazy now. Who is this guy? What is his strength?
I mean, his strength is running in first. That's one thing. I mean, he's super sharp as an entry. Even like in the past, you could see his clip from like OG just running on Mirage.
Classic one. Yes.
Yeah, this like you could see from this moment like he's that guy, and I think he has a super healthy environment. Like I just said, I mean, first of all, he's playing under Apex as an IGL, who Apex used to be an entry fragger, so Apex knows exactly what like you know he needs from Flamesy. And Flamesy can kind of, I think, you know, have this really good work balance and learn things from Apex as well. And they have this like healthy conversations on how to set up the executes and how to, I don't know, like entry into the bomb site and what the running paths look like. So I think between him and Apex, I think it's a very good environment. I think that's what's helping him a lot. But I think this year, I mean, he's always trying to improve, but I think in the last maybe 6 months, and somewhere like last year, I think he picked up a lot of new things, you know, like he started to watch more demos for sure, like just the amount he's increased. I think he's trying to like use the refrag tool a bit for himself. I think that's probably important as far as I can see. He's just trying to find, like, he's like, you know, min-maxing the performance right now. Like he's trying everything to become a better player. Because maybe, I don't know, maybe he didn't like the fact that Donk had the best entry of the year. He wanted to be in the team of the year last year.
Sure. By the way, I obviously you know this, way back in the day when you were in Mouse, famously, I actually contacted you. I did a whole video about this, where when you chose to re-sign, even in the period where like people like Carrigan had left, and there was just like, it was the younger Mouse, they were rebuilding again in the online period. At the time, I didn't flame you, but I did sort of say, like, I think you made a mistake there. Like, you stayed 1 year too long. Like, okay, you want to be loyal to the org, and they gave you, by the way, they gave you a very good salary. That's all cool, you know. But it may be delayed winning trophies for a while, though, because you weren't in a team that was number one, right? Ever since then, the joke is people think the opposite. People think you're like the fucking, you've just got the sense of like, time to go to this team. Like, you've just got the best choice in teams ever. People know this story. You could have gone to Vitality before FaZe, but you picked FaZe. You had an amazing time there. You won the Grand Slam, the Major, all the prestige trophies. Now you've gone to Vitality. You've had these unbelievable years. Does Rops, have you mastered how to navigate your career? Is that real?
I mean, craziest thing to me is that people get personal about this. Like, whichever team someone chooses or whichever team someone leaves, like, no one owes anyone nothing. Like, that's the point. Like, you can do whatever you want. It's your life. It's your decisions. Yeah. You can judge those decisions, but like, why would you? Like, I mean, of course you can, but like, I'm going to pick a team that's, I think is the best for me, and someone else is going to do the same for himself. But yeah, I think the teams obviously have gone pretty good for me. Like, it's a very condensed career, I would say, like three teams, and just so far, just a lot of success between all of them. Not the biggest trophies with Mouse, but still the amount of trophies we had is a significant one. Yeah. And with FaZe, you know, I stepped up with like all the prestigious tournaments and the Major and the Grand Slam. And with Vitality, I think, I don't know, it's just like each team I've been in, like the success just gets higher. So that's, I don't know if there's going to be a next one. I don't think so, but I'd like to keep it this way it is now, and I'm happy to be in this team.
To make the interview a bit symmetrical, like in the first question, I'll ask a similar thing. At the time, I was trying to sort of like big bro you, flexor, like, you haven't won enough yet to do the reflections. The joke is now you've won more than probably four times more than most of the people who do the interview series, right? Here's my question for you. Are you someone where when you were young and you thought about being a pro, or I don't know, you looked at sports stars, are you someone, did you always think of yourself as a winner? Do you think of yourself as a champion? Did you have to become that?
I don't think I ever thought of it this way. It's funny because I thought about this question in a similar context, was the fact that was if I was ever going to be a pro in CS. And the fact is, obviously, I got picked up from FPL to a team in Mouse. But I feel like, you know, that's, I've had like really weird storylines in my career. And, you know, that's one of the weird storylines where that was the whole cheating accusations. And
yes,
I think like that kind of forced my hand to become a pro, because, you know, if I never proved myself, I would have this reputation and I would have to live with this, like, kind of like, I'm this closeted cheater, whatever, and he never proved himself. So I was kind of forced to prove who I am, and in that sense, like, yeah, I didn't have an option to, like, I had to become a pro, you know? So in that sense, that's how I recently thought about it. But I think, I don't know, in terms of just being a winner, I just like competition. I don't know. And I mean, you don't want to lose, so of course you want to win. But I think, you know, I think it's, you kind of stay humble in your corner still. Like, you don't set like unrealistic expectations. I never thought I'm going to win something or be a winner. But I just, I don't know, wanted to try and compete. And I think that's what I'm like, kind of addicted to. It's just, you know, like trying to be the best and the competition.
By the way, along those lines, right, I have a quick angle on this, right, which goes like this. You and Zimu, fully of teammates now, are the two players that fans always give this weird framing of. They always go, and you know, people used to think they cheated, and I always go, but based on what we know now, that makes perfect sense. Like, by the way, but I'll just say this. I saw that cash clip of Zimu back in the day. I thought he cheated. I was like, he's got like a fucking sixth sense for where the guy is, and he's a perfect aim. Like, he's so good, you should think he cheats. Similar with you, right? Even though I get that in the moment, it's fucked up. If we now know what we know about you winning all the clutches, That would look like a wall hack if some random 17-year-old was doing that to me. I would be like, he's fucking cheating his tits off. There's no way. Who is this guy? If I was JW or whatever, I'd be like, who the fuck is this guy doing? Because in a weird way, that is your strength, right? I don't really blame those people thinking you're cheating, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you exactly got a point. I think that's the case, especially with Zaivu and maybe me, I know. It's the case where the person's skill level or the person's abilities or just whatever it is, it's just years ahead of its time, you know?
Yes.
And I think that's the case with Zaivu for sure. Like when he was this kind of player he is today, he was like 8 years ago, you know? Like that's when he was also like on like an 18-year-old. That's a long time ago. And back then, like, times were different. Like, people weren't as good as they are now today individually and as a team. And I think that's the thing also what's actually, like, kind of annoying is that when people compare Astralis and Vitality, like, well, Astralis set the meta and they define things, but how are you supposed to do that nowadays with Vitality? Like,
yeah.
Vitality hasn't done that, but how are you supposed to do it? It's impossible. Of course they're going to set the meta when they're the only team using a 3D program or 2D program to watch the demos or stuff. Like, analytic programs didn't even exist like at those times when Astralis was there. Like, I think there was one or two, but they were probably one of the few who actually used them.
Yes.
It was after Astralis that these programs, you know, became like used by everyone. And nowadays, of course, everyone uses them. So it's like, that's the thing that also was like ahead of its time, probably back then. It's just the way that Astralis was able to get all this information and you know, use it to their advantage, and that's nothing to do with like abusing it. That was the proper way of doing it, but now everyone does it, and it's kind of, if you want to say that's like an advantage to comparing eras, that they set the meta to how to anti-strat or whatever. That's fine, but like, we're not able to achieve that. Like, you cannot compare that. You know, that's not really comparable.
By the way, obviously, I should ask this as one of the last questions. Since you actually were, like, famously, people don't know, the mouse spots that you played for was one of the teams that could never fucking beat Astralis. They were always getting you in the close game, in the fucking overtime. Like, they were insane. They're insanely hard to beat, right? This is one of those questions. When people say, who was the best Vitality or Astralis? The problem is, if a pro player answers, I have to look who the pro player is. Like, I saw recently, Nico was like, Astralis was better. It's like, yeah, no shit, Nico, because you've beaten Vitality a ton of times, but Astralis used to hand you your ass. Like, I get why he would think that, you know? Totally still a valid opinion, but obviously it's informed by his experience. As someone who played Astralis and is in Vitality, Rops thinks Vitality is the best team ever, yeah? It's a ridiculous question, but I have to ask it, don't I?
Yeah. I mean, I would say yes, but it comes with the bias. It comes with the bias.
Yeah. Right, at the end of the interview, it was a little epic one, long one, good. We didn't even lurk on the interview, wait till the end for all the good shit. Anyway, at the end of the interview, do you have a final message for people? Do you want to thank anyone or say hello to anyone?
No, it was a good opportunity to talk. Thanks for listening, whoever's watching. It's been a while, actually. I've been in a podcast, so it's been cool to talk. Always fun to answer some questions outside the box. And yeah, thank you for having me.
Tanan Vaga.
No problem.
Did I butcher it?
Yeah.
Ah, whatever. Yeah. It's funnier that way.
It was close.
Okay. Since time immemorial, great artists have been supported by patrons who believed in their work and wanted to contribute to their efforts. Well, what's more fitting than the greatest esports content artist being supported by my patrons, the Skrilluminati? So this video and the others on my channel was kindly supported by Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore, and you know it. A special thanks always goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in my video AMA? Want teasers? See who the upcoming guests are? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content, or take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic. If any of these perks appeal to you or others, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. Where? In the description box, there is a Patreon link.